This week's Crossman Conversation is brought to you by Meeks Capital, Frontier Partners, First Horizon Bank, and Crossman Career Builders.
The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation. Before we get started, Mike, I got a quick story for you.
Let's hear it, man.
Quick story. You know, Mike, in all my years of working with college students, and I've had such a pleasure working with students and all over the country and interning them and mentoring them, and I've lectured at 30-plus universities. But there's one school that I've hired the most students from. And over the years hiring these kids, I've seen them, like, of course, when I hired them, they were kids and I was a kid. And, of course, now these people are super big executives.
And you're still a kid.
I'm still a kid, yeah, I guess, at heart, I guess. But the college, university I've hired the most graduates from in my entire business career, Rollins College.
Wow.
Rollins College. And would you believe today, our guest is the president of Rollins College. So, President Cornwell, are you here on the line with us?
I certainly am.
So glad to have you on the show, and thanks for being on the show. And, man, I'm just such a huge fan of Rollins College. Your MBA program, absolutely. I think it's number one in the state, number one in the South. Is that correct?
It is, yes.
Well, I'm just always so amazed with the tremendous talent that you guys bring out there. And I'm a big fan of your school as well. My dad went to Wabash College in Indiana. And I think that's a rival of is it Worcester you were at prior to this?
Worcester, College of Worcester, yes.
Correct. So that was a little bit of a thing. And then his buddy was Thad Seymour, who was the president of Wabash, then became president of Rollins. And you were from up there and now at Rollins yourself. So that's pretty cool.
Indeed. And Wabash was a rival up there. But when I came to Winter Park, when I came to Winter Park and found out that two former presidents live in Winter Park, as a new president, that raised some alarm bells. But actually, Rita Bornstein and Thad Seymour are such wonderful people, and they have been so supportive, and they've given so much. So that it's been just nothing but a boon.
Well, that's really great to hear. I want to talk about Rollins and you and Winter Park specifically. That's actually one of the things I wanted to talk about. I was on a committee. We were talking about the success of downtown communities across America, and one of the consultants I spoke to said, there is no example of a successful downtown in America that didn't have a college or university as part of it. And when the guy said that, I was like, that can't be right. And I thought about it. I'm like, I think he's 100% right. And so tell us about the role of Winter Park and Rollins and you, and how does that all kind of connect?
Well, I mean, it goes all the way back to the beginning, literally. Rollins is the first college in Florida. And Winter Park won the right to establish a college here in a competition because Alfonso Rollins put up the most money, frankly. Winter Park was just a dusty place in rural Florida in 1885. And it became the first college in Florida. So, Winter Park predates Orlando. And it all began here in the relationship between Winter Park and Rollins. And look where it's come now. And I have to say that, one of the things that attracted me here was the situation of Rollins College. To have a residential liberal arts college in a city as gracious and culturally interesting as Winter Park, which of course is nestled right in the middle of this global city we call Orlando or Central Florida, is an ideal place to place a college in this day and age. I spent most of my career at liberal arts colleges, but most of them, John, are in the Northeast or the Midwest in rural white America, tucked in these little villages, which at one point might have been charming, but it's just not relevant anymore. And to have a liberal arts college in the middle of a global city is just incredibly dynamic.
Well, it's so fascinating, President Cornwell. I have a daughter that's a freshman in college, and then I have another daughter that's a senior at Winter Park High School. And so I've been doing the college tours, right? And I recently, as a parent, did a tour of Rollins College, just so you know, I had that perspective. And so, man, I've been in Central Florida most of my entire life, but I never actually went on a tour, you know, with a kid and stuff like that. Your campus is impressive, my friend. It's very impressive. I mean, it might have the best dorm rooms I've ever seen. It may have the best view of a college cafeteria I've ever seen. I think the house across that lake, I think it's Mike, my producer's house or somebody. It's a nice looking house. But it is a beautiful campus with a really wonderful collegiate experience. It's just, so you know this, I don't want you to think, and I hate a John Hammy show because he's trying to get his kid in my school. What I've learned is that both my daughters said, "We love Rollins. We're not living 10 minutes from your house, Dad." So that's the only negative, but it is absolutely stunning.
Well, you know, John, I mean, what's interesting about that is about half of our students come from Florida and half come from around the world.
Sure.
We have a big pipeline of students that come from the Northeast down through the Southeast. That's a major pipeline, but 10% of our students are international. And we have quite a few students every year that come from Trinity Prep and Lake Highland and Winter Park High. And there's always that anxiety that, am I too close to home? But what actually happens is that students have a completely independent experience here. And, you know, and more and more, you know, their connection with home is on their terms, right? But anyways, I understand that. And thank you for the comment on the campus. What I think is important about our campus architecture and campus design is that it's purpose designed. I mean, learning at Rollins is all about relationships. We believe that learning, the deepest learning, takes place in the context of human relationships. And the design of this campus, everywhere you look, inside and out, is meant to foster intimacy, conversation, and relationship. And that's been true since Hamilton Holt introduced the Mediterranean architecture when he did. And it's true even now, even though that residence hall that you refer to, the Lakeside neighborhood, is brand new, it retains those same principles and objectives. And it really works. It really works.
I think over the years, I've lectured at least three different classes. No, four. Four. I've lectured in four different classes at Rollins College from the undergrad and graduate level. All different areas, and every experience I found to be fascinating. And I think one of them was like a nursing class or something like that. And again, not my expertise, but I have always been impressed with students. And President Cornwell, let me say that. I want to just make sure I make this point. You know, I've endowed 11 scholarships at 7 universities. I'm a trustee at Bethune-Cookman University. I'm a former trustee at Valencia College, and so involved in all these places. When students ask me for career advice, and I'm saying this publicly, you know, obviously on the radio, my number one recommendation for an MBA is Rollins. That is where I tell people, if either or both my daughters want to get an MBA, there's not like a second. I'm like, that is the school for that. So I just want to affirm you that that's, as a employer, as a guest lecturer, as an experience, and I've been all around the state, I just think what you guys are doing there with that program is fantastic.
Well, I very much appreciate that. That is high praise indeed. But again, I go back to what I said before, which is that, you know, the Crummer Graduate School of Business, it's not a massive school of business. It's just a very, very good one. Mm-hmm. And again, the scale has to do with what makes it so good, because it's intensive, but all of the intensity is around being mentored by these fantastic faculty in a very, very personal way. That both produces a lot of learning and has a lot of accountability in it. So when you go to Crummer, you're all in.
Well, and talk about, you know, it's funny you should say, I was just talking to my daughter about the concept of, for a lot of people, like, you know, when I was growing up, Mike was growing up, you know, the concept of college, you maybe live in a big city or maybe you live somewhere or whatever, and you go away to this small college town and you get educated, and then you come back from that small college town back into your own community or bigger community. And, you know, Rollins is it right to say it's an urban campus? Is that the way you describe it?
I think that's fair. Yeah. It doesn't feel that way, but yeah. I have to say yes.
Right. And so, you know, you can be a student there and take in your classes and intern with a Fortune 500 company. You can intern at Darden or Disney or Universal or any of the many great companies that we have in Central Florida. So you can be like a regular student and also have this bigger experience. And as you were stating, like, with our convention center, all the other things we got going on, it has that combination of things. You know, if you're in a smaller market, it's hard to have a big time internship. So is that true?
There's another dimension to it too, John. You're exactly right about that. But there's another dimension to it too. When you live in rural white America, and you're studying the world's biggest challenges and biggest problems and the things that this generation of students really knows that they have to get after, in some ways you have to learn about them in the classroom. Here at Rollins, you know, our students are out in the Orlando metro area engaging these problems on the ground. They can put their learning to work in the world while they're students and when they graduate in a way that's just not possible if you're not in the middle of the action. I mean, Orlando is in the middle of globalization, right? Any problem, any opportunity that you want to find, it's happening here right now. And we can be directly connected to that.
We're going to take a break in just 1 minute, President Cornwell. But it's funny when I hear you say that, it's like sometimes I've heard parents of young kids and they'll be in a situation where like, oh, you know, I don't spend enough quantity of time at kids, but I get a lot of quality time. And I'm always like, that's true, but sometimes life is just being there. And I think that's kind of what you're saying is like, when you're in an environment and you're there and things are happening, you're able to connect to them. There's just real value to that. There's really value to that. Well, President Grant Cornwell, you're awesome. We're going to take a quick break. And then I've got two big gotcha questions when we come back and break. So be ready. Okay.
I'm ready.
All right. So we'll take a quick break. Mike, take us out. We'll come right back.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Are you willing to serve communities in crisis around the world? To people who are impoverished, oppressed, and persecuted? Frontier Partners International offers mission opportunities in areas least served to meet the needs of the helpless, the hapless, and hopeless. To learn how you can be a partner of this frontline ministry with your time, talent, or treasure, visit frontier-partners.org. That's frontier-partners.org.
Here's a call to those who want to make an impact on their company, their community, or who possess a desire to make the world a better place. Crossman Career Builders provides the tools and resources for you or your company to make a difference on some of the toughest issues that we all face. Crossman Career Builders partners with CEOs, politicians, and pastors seeking to address problems of racism, mental health, addiction, justice, and suicide. CrossmanCB.com.
It's said that it's not how much money you make, it's how much you keep and use to plan for your future. Nathan Meeks, principal at Meeks Capital, combines leading investment techniques with modern financial planning software to be the resource you turn to for clear, objective, and sound financial advice. For a no-obligation consultation, call Nathan at 407-494-5439 or visit meekscapital.com.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
Back at the Crossman Conversation with our special guest today, Rollins College President Grant Cornwell. And President Cornwell, I just want to say, I love your name. Like, it sounds like a Civil War general or something. It's a fantastic name. Like, General Grant Cornwell took the hill. You know, I love the name Grant. I love the name Cornwell. It's very strong. So you picked the right profession, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I have you dumbfounded. I didn't mean to shock you with that. I'm just saying. I like your name. I got you speechless. I didn't mean to. I have a boring name. That's why I say that. All right. Well, listen, I got to get some harder questions here for you, okay? And here's the first big one is, you know, when you throw out the word liberal or if you throw out the word arts, you know, both those words individually can have some negative connotation to people. You throw it together, liberal arts. Like, I remember one of my daughters saying to me, like, what is liberal arts? Like, what is that? And of course, I have a context in my head. My oldest daughter is at a liberal arts college. My oldest one, I think, is probably going to a liberal arts college. But for somebody who just doesn't even know what that means, like, oh, this is a liberal arts college. Give us context. What does that mean?
Yeah, this is a big sort of PR problem that this sector of schools has to contend with all the time. And we do what we can, but in this particular sort of cultural vernacular, those terms don't serve us well. The first thing to make very clear is a liberal education is not an education in how to be a liberal.
I mean, that's not
what's going on here whatsoever, just to clear.
Good.
You know, the Latin is artis liberalis. And what it means, it's what you have, the liberal in liberal arts is the term for freedom. It's an education in how to be free, which is to say, traditionally and even now, it's an education how to think independently, how to think objectively, rationally, how to look for evidence, how to make an argument, how to assess an argument, and how not to be subject to propaganda or untruth. So a liberal arts education is an education in how to be liberated for free and independence and critical thinking. That's the whole point of what we're doing here. And it's so germane today, both because we see so much untruth. We see such a disrespect for facts and for expertise that this is a liberal arts education is an antidote to sort of the populism that has taken over what counts as truth.
It's funny, President Cornwell. I love what you're saying, I'll make this point. So, when my oldest daughter was looking at colleges, and she chose Palm Beach Atlantic University, and she's there now. And if you were to walk Palm Beach Atlantic University campus, it looks like Rollins. They both are the same size. They kind of have the same feel. It's also liberal arts in its concept. And so I said to somebody recently, I'm like, yeah, no, Palm Beach Atlantic and Rollins are very similar. And the person looked at me and they were kind of shocked I said that. They're like, well, isn't Palm Beach Atlantic like a conservative Christian school? And isn't Rollins kind of this sort of liberal, you know, school? And I'm like, no, man, I'm like, first off, they're similar size, first off, similar scale. I'm like, but they're both liberal arts. They're teaching how to think and based in truth. And of course, one has a more of a Christian kind of overlay to it. But there's a lot, I think a lot of those people would get really along well together because they're focused on fact and truth and respect and humanity. Is that correct?
Well, it's absolutely correct. And just to circle all the way back to the beginning, the current president of Palm Beach Atlantic went to the College of Worcester and became a medical doctor and then the dean of a medical school and is now the president of Palm Beach Atlantic. And she went to the college where I served as president for 8 years. So
how about
there's
that?
All kinds of intellectual and values connections there.
You know, it's funny. So first off, I'm not crazy. That makes me feel good. And then secondly, honest to goodness, I was with President Schwinn last weekend, and I had wanted to ask her to be on my show, but my daughter said I'm not allowed. I get any other college president in America, but not her because she doesn't, you know, I get that. Well, that's really helpful. So if somebody is looking for this kind of like a place where, you know, we can have healthy, respectful, humane conversations based in truth and fact, that's what you're saying comes out of that. And I also just think you're saying it's like, this is a place where we help you teach you how to think, right?
Yes. Yes, we teach you how to think, not what to think.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I will tell you, I have in my years had kids that graduated summa cum laude. I graduated, thank you, Laude Mike. You know, but that's an old joke. But kids that were, you know, went to Florida State, straight A students and all that kind of stuff, but they just weren't that good. And it's almost like they know how to get an A, but they don't necessarily know how to think. So is that what you're talking about?
Well, it is. And a lot of that has to do with scale. You know, we are the size we are on purpose because when you're learning through relationships and through conversation and dialogue in small settings, you have to be accountable for what you say. You have to have reasons. You have to be prepared to be challenged on it. You have to be a good listener and be engaged in conversation rather than just rote learning. So it's actually a much more rigorous style and approach to education than you can possibly do at scale. I mean, what we do, the kind of learning, teaching and learning that happens here cannot happen in a lecture hall with 300 people. Mm. We're just involved in a different enterprise.
No, listen, when I was a freshman at Florida State, I had a biology class that had 1,500 students in it. And so, and my daughter now, freshman at PBA, she has classes with 10 students. So, very different thing. So here's the last topic I wanted to talk to you about. Every single one of my shows, I always, at some point, I endorse historically black colleges and universities, and that's a big part of my life. And so, when I think about it, gosh, I'd love to see more Bethune-Cookman and FAMU and Jackson State kids, come to Rollins for their MBA. Do you have any thoughts on that about how can we better connect what you're doing and what colleges like you're doing with the HBCU world and trying to make that overlap in society? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, right now, what I would point to is the sort of ongoing relationship that our music department has with Bethune-Cookman. And they do concerts together and they travel back and forth together. And I just give a lot of credit to the head of our music program, Dr. John Sinclair, because he understands that's a better learning experience for everybody, mm-hmm. for students at both colleges. I have a tremendous amount of respect and admiration for HBCUs in the U.S., and I am gratified to know that over the last couple of years, their salience has rebounded. Mm-hmm. Their value is being seen, and also the government is supporting them. They have increased investments. That said, it's also very important to me at Rollins to be a place where students of all backgrounds, ethnicities, and races feel that they have a place and that they can learn and thrive and grow here. Because our excellence, the excellence of our mission at Rollins, is a function of diversity. We can't be as good as we are if we were a college that had people from all one background or all one faith tradition or all one race. So I also want to make sure that we remain a place that is a choice for top students of all backgrounds.
Well, President Cornwell, let me first say in response to everything you just said is thank you. Thank you for you as a human and your own story, your own experience for making those issues a priority. Thank you. And thank you for Dr. St. Clair. Did I get that right? St. Clair?
Yeah.
For that support of Bethune-Cookman University and you being supportive of it. So, and then finally, I thank you and your leadership at Rollins for having that in your mind. And I always say, actually, I was just giving a lecture yesterday, and I always try to make this point that diversity is not about lowering the bar. It's about widening the net. I always give the example was the 1955 University of Alabama football team the best representation of athletes of the state of Alabama? I assure you it was not. It was only when they had diversity that the best team got on the field. And so I think I always come back to, it's like, how do we get the best team on the field? And certainly I know for me, my Christian faith is very important to me. My atheist and Jewish and Muslims friends have really helped me develop my faith further. Right. And I mean that in all kinds of ways. Sometimes it's challenging, but sometimes it's me working on the muscle of being more compassionate to a different view or thought and how I can love and serve those people. So I really affirm you in what you're doing. So thank you. You're a community leader and you're supporting so many good things. So thank you so much.
Well, you're gracious and generous, and I've very much enjoyed the conversation. So thank you, John.
Well, I hope that you will keep me and our show on your radar, and I want you to know if there's anything ever we can do to be helpful and supportive of Rollins College, we're thrilled to do it. Our little studio here, me and Mike, we're in Winter Park, so we're neighbors and friends and fans, and we're just grateful for all you're doing and hope you'll stay in close touch with us. Any other final thoughts? Go ahead.
Well, John, I certainly will, and I think one thing you can do is you can bring your daughter back to Rollins and let me have a little talk with her.
Okay. Duly noted. I'm going to be texting her. Just President Cornwell wants to see you privately. Well, President Grant Cornwell, it's been a delight. Thank you so much for being on the show. This is John Crossman, and this has been the Crossman Conversation. And as always, support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.